and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm hoping that somebody hit record.
I hit record.
Okay.
Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking again with Sheila. Sheila is joining us from Arizona to tell us a bit about her family's experience with gastric feeding tubes.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
thanks,
Sheila,
for having me. Hi. Hi, Ron.
Hope
thanks
you're doing
for having
well.
Me, guys. Yeah, doing good, thanks.
Thank you for taking the time out to speak with us today. Luckily, you are in Arizona, is that it?
Yes.
Yeah, you're missing our weather out here. Lucky you.
Yes, lucky me. This is as close to the Chicago weather as I'd like to be. So hello from sunny Arizona.
Okay. What was the temperature there today?
I think it's about 65 or so.
Oh my gosh.
65. I love 65.
65 is a dream.
Of course, it's, you know, 120 is not a dream, and that's what you're going to have in the summer. So
that's why people need to migrate.
Yes.
Like birds.
Yes.
Okay.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Right. So, Sheila, I understand that your family has had experience with feeding tubes. Can you tell us what is a feeding tube and who in your family has needed one?
Okay, so a feeding tube or a gastronomy tube, as it's commonly referred to, or a G-tube, is for those individuals who are unable to swallow safely. They're in need of supplemental nutrition, and for other reasons that they're not able to get adequate nutrition by mouth.
Okay.
A feeding tube is a medical means by which they can get nutrition. Now, my twins were born prematurely at 27 weeks, and both required feeding tubes. The reason they both needed the feeding tubes was twofold. They had severe reflux, and they kept getting sick with pneumonia. And the findings were that both my twins were aspirating, so it was aspiration.
Okay.
This is where some of whatever the fluid is being consumed goes into the lungs.
Okay.
And over time developed into something like pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And the aspiration in their case was mostly caused by them being a little uncoordinated because they were so little that when they were sucking and swallowing the milk, some of it was going into their lungs.
Okay.
My son had more occurrences of this as his lungs were already compromised due to other complications.
And what was the process like of getting the feeding tubes put in?
Okay, so the process for getting the feeding tube placed, it's not the easiest.
Okay.
The patient does need to be put under anesthesia, and a hole, or a stoma, as it's referred to, is made. So they put a hole right through from the outside of the stomach through to the inside of the stomach.
Okay.
This is where they place a small device, which is commonly referred to as a button. They place that there, and then you can attach an extension tube onto that, and that connects to the tubing of a feeding pump, or if you use a syringe, then you would feed the syringe right into that extension.
Mm-hmm.
When the feeding tube placement surgery was done for both of the twins, the surgeon also did fundoplication for both the twins, and this is where the upper curve of the stomach, or which is called the fundus, is wrapped around the esophagus and sewn into place so that the lower portion of the esophagus passes through a small tunnel of the stomach muscle. The way they simplified it for me so that I could understand it when the surgeons talked to me was that they basically just wrapped the esophagus around itself and stitched it so that there was only a small opening, which in turn helped with the acid not being able to pass as easily upwards and causing the burning feeling of reflux like for adults, like heartburn.
Okay.
Right, okay.
Sheila, let me ask, the tube feeding, how has it improved the life for your twins?
In my son's case, it improved his life tremendously because this was one less area of concern as we tried to work to improve his other more major issues, such as his respiratory status.
Okay.
In both the twins' cases, It provided consistency of feeding times, and it ensured the nutrition. It just helps them to thrive.
Right. I mean, otherwise, really without food and nutrition,
right,
there's no way that they could thrive.
Right.
It was also, at the same time, a tedious process. As the feedings were administered through a feeding pump, this helped as we could set the rate at which we wanted to give the feeding and over what length of time. It would usually take about an hour for a feeding, which is about 8 ounces of formula, a cup's worth of formula.
Wow, so it goes in slow.
It would take an hour.
Yeah,
very slow.
And the child has to lay still during this, or?
Yeah, so what I would do is put them in their high chairs.
Okay.
And so that way they wouldn't be moving around a lot, and they would just try and distract them.
Okay.
But as they got more used to it, they were fine with it. They would sit there, you know, for the full feeding with no issues.
Okay. All right, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. It just takes a longer time because it has to drip into the stomach really slowly, give it a chance to settle, and then help with the reflux.
Okay.
So, yeah, there were a lot of benefits to, there are a lot of benefits to having the feeding tube.
Sure.
Also, tube feeding makes it possible for people who aren't able to eat enough on their own to get the nutrition that they need to live or even eat at all.
Right. Is it always obvious why someone is using tube feeding? Like, if you were to look at your twins now, you couldn't tell that they have feeding tubes. The little button is like an inch or so in length, right? And maybe a half an inch wide, and it sits on the outside of the stomach. So it's very easily covered with clothing when they were younger. So the only way you could tell is if you lifted their shirt up or you saw the tubing from the pump connected to them.
Right, if you went and gave them raspberries.
Yes. Yeah, correct, yeah. Yeah. So there are countless conditions which may require tube feeding. It is important to realize that you may not be able to see why someone requires a feeding tube. Not all illnesses are visible.
Sure. And what has the use of the feeding tube meant for you and your children? And what are the benefits that you've had or you've seen from tube feeding? And what problems, if any, have you encountered?
The feeding tube has meant so much. In the beginning, like I mentioned earlier, it gave the medical professionals the opportunity to tackle and control other complications without having to worry about the nutrition piece.
Okay.
It helped so much with reflux because of the controlled feeding rate and with the fundoplication.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't throw the feeding up. It was really tough in some ways. It was awful, especially for my daughter, as she would mostly just dry heave, like cough and retch. And nothing would come out.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd be like red in the face and mm-hmm. nothing's mm-hmm. coming up, but she's trying so hard to get it out.
Yeah.
So it's very painful and distressing to watch. It's heart-wrenching to see a child go through that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
I can only imagine that when you know, it's one thing when you hurt, but when your kids hurt, it's just gut-wrenching for you as a parent.
Yeah,
it's just totally awful. But it was also a blessing in a lot of ways. It was also a major source of frustration, as it was a blessing. I must also mention that, especially in my daughter's case, the reflux was present even though we gave her two different types of reflux medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem to help.
Okay.
And my son didn't have as much of an issue with the reflux piece as he did with some other complications from the actual surgery. Over time, he developed what we thought was granulation tissue, and with the healthcare professional's direction, we tried to treat it with various ointments, topical ointments, trying to get the granulation tissue to shrink.
Okay.
We tried so many things over the span of 5 years. During this time, the size of the tissue increased, and it made the button sit very unevenly on the outside of the stomach.
Okay.
It would leave small spaces around the hole that then allowed the stomach acid or whatever he was eating or drinking. It would just spill out of there, leak out of there. And then because of the stomach acid, it would burn the skin around the tube. We'd always, you know, we'd do a lot of dressings, just trying to avoid having to do any of the, you know, having any of the liquid spill out.
Sure.
And just to create a barrier so it wouldn't burn his skin.
Mm-hmm.
But towards the end, before he had the G-tube removed, the skin was so red and inflamed, and it caused him a great deal of pain. I've never seen him cry so much. It was just another thing that, you know, it's just so heart-wrenching to watch your kid just go through that, and you try everything you can.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. We even had to change his surgery date 2 weeks out so that we could get the skin in better shape so that the surgeon could perform the surgery to close up the stoma or the hole, as it, you know, so to close it up completely.
Sure, sure. Were your children able to eat by mouth while using a feeding tube?
Yes, yes. Once they were a little older, it was after discharge from the hospital, 6 months. In my daughter's case, she was discharged when she was 6 months old, and my son at 16 months was discharged from the hospital. So we had speech and feeding therapists visit us. They would visit us in our home and work with us on techniques for introducing different foods to them.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, my son improved with this. He finally started eating more by mouth, and by the time he was about 3 years old, he was eating more and more.
Okay.
My daughter has been really tough to work with. She will now eat more by mouth, but still relies on her tube feeding for the majority of her nutrition.
Okay, so the twins are still using feeding tubes?
Well, except for Sammy, right?
Yeah, so Sammy, he finally stopped using his feeding tube at 6 years old.
Okay.
We kept it in for six more months. This is like standard procedure in case there are illnesses, because we were going into cold and flu season as well.
Oh, okay. Right, right.
Yeah, so we just wanted to make sure that if he did get sick and he needed some way to get nutrition, that at least we could guarantee the nutrition through his tube.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then finally we had his feeding tube removed last week at age 6 and a half.
Wow.
So it's a huge deal for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's been doing great with that.
I was just going to say, and I heard that he has a really large scar.
Something that he can show up when he's older and say, I went through the war, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 6 inches long.
And for such a little kid, that's big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 6 inches long, and it took the surgeon about 2 hours to complete that part of his surgery.
Okay.
We were very worried that it wouldn't work, but it looks amazing. It looks like it's healed really well.
Oh, good.
So,
What about Shreya?
So Shreya, she still relies on her feeding tube for about 80% of her nutrition.
Okay.
She's starting to eat more. She loves chocolate and ice cream.
Who does it?
Like almost any other typical kid.
Yep.
she really loves it. She also eats mac and cheese in small quantities.
Okay.
And her latest favorite is Doritos.
Oh,
okay.
That's so funny.
Yeah. She started out just licking them, but now she actually puts them in her mouth and crunches them, which is a huge improvement.
Yeah,
and
sure,
it's such a happy time for us.
Sure.
Oh, that's great.
Great. Do you feel that the twins were limited by their feeding tubes?
No, I don't feel like there was any real effects on their ability to run around or be like any other kid.
Okay.
Towards the end when Sammy, just before we had his tube taken out, it was a rough few weeks just because he was in so much pain from the stomach acid leaking out.
Right.
But overall, there's no difference really between, you know, in the physical activity that they could do or anything like that.
I was just thinking, like at school or something for lunch, how would they eat lunch at school?
Oh, so, I mean, I do pack a lunch for both of them, and they're given a good amount of time. They sit in a classroom on their own with their aide, but in a very enclosed environment, so they have the opportunity to try all the food that I give them.
Okay.
And then Shreya, for the most part, she won't eat too much of her food, and then she gets taken to the nurse, where the nurse will give her tube feeding in the office.
That actually brings up a good question. I wanted to ask, were you and your husband able to do the tube feedings or help with the tube feedings, or did they have to be done by a nurse or a healthcare professional?
That's a good question.
Yeah, we were trained on how to use the pump, et cetera, before we even left the hospital.
Okay.
And we learned everything, like, over the months before we left the hospital, just how to start and stop the feedings, all of the troubleshooting and all of that. So we were trained really well with that. You could also, eventually we transitioned for both the twins, we transitioned to just using a big syringe after their reflux got a bit better. And pretty much anyone can do it. They can be trained to do it, and it's not difficult. We did have nursing in the home, so the nurses would also, you know, set the feedings up and perform that task as part of their routine when they were helping us to take care of the twins.
Okay.
And then in the beginning as well, we would have overnight time where we'd have to feed the twins as well.
Wow.
And those are more continuous feeds. And they would go in at a much lower rate. So like almost like just a drip every minute or something like that, but overnight throughout the night.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, so we would, in those cases, if I had a night nurse, then she would do it. Otherwise, if I didn't, then I would do it myself and just set up the feeding, yeah.
Okay.
Sheila, were there any challenges the twins have faced related to using a feeding tube? And what do you wish you had known when the twins first started using a feeding tube?
I think maybe I gave enough info. I'm drawing a blank.
Well, I think parents who maybe are first are going through this right now.
Right.
What do you wish you could tell them?
Right. So, like, there's a parent that's in the hospital and their child is going to have to use a feeding tube. Well, they never even heard of a feeding tube. Are there any words of advice or anything that you could tell them? Just saying, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's easy to do. But is there anything specifically that you could think of as a new feeding tube parent might need to know?
Yeah. There's definitely, like, sometimes they won't tell you stuff, or they might say it in passing. The healthcare professionals will, about maybe like what we call feeding the bed when they're on a continuous feed at night, and when the patient's on a continuous feed, and if they just move a little and everything comes disconnected, and now you've lost your whole feeding.
Oh.
You don't realize it until it's too late.
Okay.
Like the whole feeding's done.
Right.
So it just spills, you know, just, right.
Yeah, so you just end up, it's all in the bed instead of in their stomach.
Right.
So it's always good, my advice would be to always just keep checking that, or have a lock that you get different types of locks that you can put on the tubes to make sure that doesn't come apart.
Okay.
And cause this to happen, because not only are you now out of a feeding, you've lost that whole time of the feeding.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Your child hasn't received the nutrition, because although it would be a nutritional thing, it's also really important for some kids to have the fluid balance.
If
the child has received less fluid overnight, then it throws everything else off balance.
Right, the chemical
especially
balance.
Especially if they're on, like, heart. Yeah. Well, just the, you know, balance in fluid, just, for example, if your child's on diuretics, which Sammy was on, we needed to make sure we have, like, specific amounts of fluid in him at certain times and that kind of thing, just to make sure that he's well balanced, and not, if he gets too dry because we haven't given him enough fluid, then that's a problem.
Okay.
So there's that aspect of it.
Sure.
I think that's the most important.
Okay.
Well, that's definitely some good information. If our listeners, if they're looking to do some more research or find out more information about feeding tubes, where should they go?
There are a lot of different avenues you could go. There is the Feeding Tube Awareness Foundation.
Okay.
Also, in my own personal experience on Facebook, I belong to a few groups related to feeding therapy and tube feedings in pediatrics. So you can get some extra support that way. And also asking your healthcare team just to help out with giving any suggestions and giving advice on where to turn. That healthcare teams have a lot more information.
Okay. I have one question. I was thinking about, I probably should have asked it much earlier, but I know that when a child is first born, it's important for them to nurse because they get the antibodies from the nursing from the mother. Now, is there any way that they would have allowed you to pump and use that breast milk in the feeding in the beginning?
Yes, I did that.
Okay.
Yeah, I did that. Yes.
Well, yeah, Sheila, so, we're not surprised. Yeah. You've done everything possible for your kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did do that for a while, but then Sammy, my son, developed an allergy to my breast milk because it seemed like he was, at the time, allergic to dairy products. So I had to, at that point, I had to stop, and they had to give him a very different type of formula.
Okay.
A hypoallergenic formula.
Sure.
It was called Neocate, and that really helped him. So I tried for, I did do the pumping for him for like 3 months, and then I just couldn't do it for him anymore, but I continued to do it for Shreya.
Okay.
Well, Sheila, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story with us and our listeners. Do you have any other additional advice?
No.
Okay.
No, but, if anyone would like to reach out to me, I'm happy to help.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
They could probably find you online?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'll post your your Facebook.
And your home phone number.
No,
not your home phone number.
I'll post your Facebook connection listing on our website.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Well, I think our listeners will be inspired by your story, Sheila, and please send a little of that sunshine up north.
Yes, please.
Just come and visit.
No problem. Hey, it's on our to-do
list. Thank you, guys. Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thanks, Ron. Take care.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or even Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast.
And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. And always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard in this podcast.
We're going to have her do a what do you call that? Auction?
Auction.
Yeah.